Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Chat of the Wild is a part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. To find out more information, as well as other great shows, go to greenlitpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild.
Gaiden.
In this season, we are playing through Oceanhorn, Monster of Uncharted Seas. In this episode, we're beating that game.
Hooray!
Finally.
We collected the shapes. I honestly, I feel like I'm patronizing it, really bad, but, I don't know. We are going to these things. They are gods in these golden shapes. Mm-hmm. No, not those ones. And that is what we are getting at the end of it. And then it basically, I don't know. Let's talk about, some revelations we've had before we get into this, I guess, right?
I mean, revelation that Breath of the Wild stole some things from this game.
Well, again, we're not getting to that. I'm still talking previously on Oceanhorn. So we're a kid. Our dad left us. He's fighting this monster. We traveled around. We blew some stuff up. We collected some shapes. We found out.
Is this an allegory for alcoholism? Our dad left. He's fighting some demons. He's off.
We're following in his footsteps.
He's a musician. You know, he's got a flute. He plays in a band.
Can we clarify right now? When did our dad leave? He left forever ago. Because he left us that journal, and we went to the island, the Hermit Island, a train and everything. So yeah, it's been a minute.
We don't know how long it had been between him going out on the A Link to the Past stormy night and us waking up as a vagabond on the Hermit Isle.
So they pitch it as we have been training probably since our dad left with the Hermit, right? That was kind of the follow through on that. That he left us, did all that stuff. He knew the Hermit saying, go train with him.
Yeah.
So we've been doing training with the Hermit. Probably, let's say, a couple months.
And then our mom's necklace at some point was like, all right, we don't have time for this. I'm going to go float across the island and lead him to the sword and the shield because the Hermit's taking a while and we don't have that kind of time.
Yeah, the Hermit even said, you weren't ready for this, but here we are. We go through all of this stuff. We blow some things up. We talk to some shapes. We meet some interesting characters.
We blow things up that can't be blown up because we don't know what to blow up.
Because we have no idea because it all looks the same. We eventually get onto a floating island. We find out that that's where our mom came from, that this is kind of the source of all of the trouble in this world, is that everything was at peace for a time. Someone that lived on this island, turns out that was the Mesmeroth guy or whatever, or something like that, that he wanted to take over the world, all that. So he threw everything in disarray, and that caused all the monsters to attack everything and destroy all this stuff.
Divine beasts.
Our divine beasts, basically.
Yeah.
There was a war that ensued where all but one monster was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is sort of where we are left off in this world. We collected all our shapes, and we are going to defeat Oceanhorn. That is our goal. We are following in our dad's footsteps. Mm-hmm.
We got that generational trauma angle.
Yes. And here we are. We got our shapes. We're ready to do that. Now, Brian, I don't think before this you had your coral sword.
No,
or you didn't bring it up.
I did not. I had gone to the island. I just I was like, I need to get somewhere else. I'll come back and check this island out later. It doesn't seem like there's anything cool here. Turns out there was a sword there. Also, I was expecting that coral sword, maybe because we had just played a game with a coral earring. I was expecting it to be, sea-like or jagged or rough. No, it is a very pristine, beautiful sword. So the coral that they use to make it, I mean, they're pretty good. They're really good. I commend the not Zora Zoras on their handiwork.
Yeah, it takes a lot of folds.
They sent their finest craftsmen. I mean, yeah. It's the crowning achievement of their race. So
I think so. I mean, and then Thorin the Brave killed Seelork, which you're right. You guys are right. That was a really awkward, all jarring cut to, here, you grab the sword out of the head of Seelork. But he only had one in him. He was like, all right, that's it. I'm not going after Oceanhorn now. That's some other family's problem. Here's the sword if you need it.
We'll find out that all of these monsters apparently have the same weak spot. Like, it's just in the top of their head, because that's where it was before. It's perfect for, like, pedestals. It's very Zelda-like, right? You put it in there, that's where it's going to fall, and that's where it's going to stay for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. It makes steps up to it for the next hero to just easily walk up to it and pull it right out.
One of the four legs is going to, you know, going to land in such a way that it'll be easy to climb up on top of it.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah, when they're designing it, they're like, why are there stairs on this leg? Don't worry about it.
No, that goes with the right leg. The stairs are on the right leg. You're building the left leg right now. Get the right... Did you open the wrong Lego bag? Stop it.
Anything else before we... Because I'll be honest, what we have in this episode is very short, so I wanted to just wrap everything up as neatly as I could for this game. Before we talk about like our feelings on it,
so I think we might have touched on it at the end of the last episode, but I did go back and get the go look through the telescope to see the graveyard. So I got the spell in the graveyard, which I don't know how early you could get this, but it seemed odd to give us a heal spell so late in the game. And I also hate that instead of just healing you, the heal spell, you have to stop, everything freezes, and you have to point it at yourself.
Right. Who else are you going to heal?
I mean, it just works like all the other spells. But yeah, you would think that hitting the button would just heal you, as opposed to, okay, well, I'm dying, but now I can still get hit because I'm in a slowdown while I try and target myself.
Maybe you can also highlight the skeletons and the undead. And you can damage them that way, Final Fantasy style.
I don't think there's light and dark magic, and I don't think there's holy magic against undead stuff.
But you don't know.
I don't know.
I'm
you're right.
I'm going to assume.
Because I've only ever maxed.
Are going to go back.
Yeah.
Huge waste of time.
I've only ever accidentally healed myself. Actually, I think by the end there, maybe there were a couple intentional ones. But yeah, I didn't. Maybe the hand just starts out on you? No? Because I've healed myself accidentally before, so...
I mean, I don't think it's consistent.
Yeah.
And I don't know how early we can get to this point, to the graveyard, because I discovered it through the telescopes, but I know the telescopes also pointed to other areas that you could discover earlier in the game. And the final puzzle to get to the cure spell, there's a section where you had to jump over a gap, and you can either jump over the gap with the Rigger's Boots, or there's a switch you can hit that'll raise a platform so you can walk over it, which makes me think you could get here before you got the Rigger's Boots.
It's possible.
I just figured you would have had to use the telescope to discover the island, but maybe there's someone else that's like, hey, there's a graveyard over here.
Never mind. Yeah, who knows, but I did the same thing. I went onto the island, went back there because I knew Brian had mentioned the graveyard. And so I was like, so here's the thing, I went and fought Oceanhorn, he cleaned me up, and then I was like, all right, let's see if I can level up another time and also like buy all those healing things and like refills and all that stuff. And then also, I think Brian said there's something useful in the graveyard. And so I went and did that stuff after the fact, which did help immensely. I mean, we'll get to it, but like, I don't know if you guys had trouble fighting him too.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, we're going to talk about it.
But yeah, I went and collected 40 of those bloodstone things too. Got my spell, literally never used it.
I mean, I used it to see what it was, and it's wild.
Yeah.
I only needed like two more stones, so
I didn't even bother with it. I had like 35, and I was like, oh, I think 35 is the number. And then I like looked it up, and it was like, oh, it's 40. No, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because I was looking for stuff to spend because I never hit that $2,000 for the achievement on Tikarel, and so I bought the radar, and then I bought a couple more things and hit it, and was like, I guess I'll go find a couple more of these stones. I guess I don't know.
I had mentioned before about how I wanted to level up to see if that was going to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and looked up a list of the unlocks that you
get. I'm interested in this.
So I ended it at level 12.
Okay.
Same.
I was 13.
Gave me 13. So 13, you get the upgrade to the Coral Saber, which when you have full hearts, it shoots a laser or projectile thing.
Didn't use it.
Yeah. Level 14 is Master. And it, the cure spell will heal 3 hearts instead of 2.
That'd be nice.
I got to a point where I'm like, that isn't nearly as useful, like in the time it would take me to level up there.
I mean, no, I mean, 2 wasn't that great.
Level 15 makes you the archmage, and your destructive spells now do more damage.
Mm.
Again, but never really use those.
They don't take less mana.
Nope. The only time I use those spells is on the enemies that I have to use those spells on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Level 16, which is the cap.
Oh, we're
legend.
Still going? Oh, that's yes. The cap. Okay.
Legend, which gives you 99 arrows and 99 bombs.
Cool. I mean, I could have used more bombs, I guess.
PC.
Yeah, if you could see my face when he said that, just the flabbergasted. Taking it back.
So, we go, after all of this stuff, we get on our boat, and the hermit whispers to us, "You ready to fight, Oceanhorn? Where are you?
Yeah, you should go get ready. Says, go like, fire blaster, buddy. Go get ready. Get your stuff.
Get everything put together."
And he yells and at me multiple times, because I was running around the world, yes. Like, getting stuff. He's like, go get prepared. And I was like, okay, I'll go check out some things. I need some firestones. I want to get that spell and stuff. And then after like a few islands later, he's like, no, seriously, you should get stuff and go get ready. And I'm like, I am. What do you want from me? Okay, all
right,
whatever.
Literally, the world is waiting on you right
now. Yeah, I get it. Dad's over there playing his flute, keeping Oceanhorn sleepy.
So we get an island unlocked. It's sort of the final island. We go all the way over there.
Forsaken Fortress or whatever.
Whatever. it's pretty straightforward. There isn't a lot of enemies. There's like one or two enemies in there or something like that.
Yeah.
before you get into there. But you also just randomly find a flute on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I forgot that my dad is a flutist.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I saw the flute, I was just like, what is this garbage?
Mm-hmm.
And I started playing it, and it's like nothing was happening. I'm like, okay, I don't remember this at all.
Yeah. It's pretty forgettable.
I also had the realization I may not have beat this game before, even though I got the Platinum Trophy, because I don't think you needed to beat the game to get the Platinum Trophy.
What?
And I think I stopped. I can't remember, though. Because
they forgot
this,
to put
this
that
battle
in the mobile port, the mobile version.
This battle was not... I don't remember this.
Well, I walked in and I saw there's a shot where you're going up the stairs, and the way that they frame it is they have this angle where it shows the background, and there's a bunch of those spinning fans in it. And I'm like, oh, awesome. More of that, please. More hitting fans. And then I was just like, Dad, did you play this game? Did you have to play this game too when you were a kid? Because this game sucks. Which it doesn't suck, but I was like, I am not looking forward to another dungeon full of hitting fans. And luckily that was not the case. But then also there wasn't another dungeon.
So we get a cutscene. Our dad's laying there. And he's just like, you finally made it.
I dropped my recorder.
Which is why I had us establish when our dad left, because it's like, how long has he been sitting here, like, injured, half dead?
That's the Princess Zelda from Breath of the Wild thing, where he's there to, like, appease Oceanhorn till we can make it, or keep Oceanhorn sedated, or whatever he was doing. I don't know.
And I think there's a cut scene that we might have just skipped over where he explains, or maybe it's the voiceover when we get to the island.
Yeah.
He explains
that's a lot.
So Oceanhorn is like controlled by like Arcadia's like best, greatest knights. So all of these living weapons, these living fortresses were controlled by one of Arcadia's best knights.
One of the champions.
And we are descendants of these knights. So the whole thing is like when our mom came back to fell to earth or fell to the ocean, it awakened Oceanhorn, and Oceanhorn is like, like looking for the bloodline that controlled it. He's looking for us.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and it's we're just going to get these lore dumps at the end, too.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to talk about the very end.
I want to know about the is there a journal that his dad wrote to be like, okay, so now once you're the adult guy, you got to go to this island and play a flute for a while your kid runs around the world. So is there another helping thing that he was following along, and he's like, make sure you write a notebook for your kid someday.
Yes, and feel free to just copy all this stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's cool.
The puzzles don't change.
There's a lot of fans. It's weird. Some windmills,
so,
too.
Our dad basically says that he's been fighting Oceanhorn, keeping him down here, all of this stuff, but he can't do it anymore. And he's like, but you need to just save yourself. You got to get out of here. And then Oceanhorn, or he says something about like, he's gonna hit you with his death ray.
He says first though, like, look, when this is all over, we're going to go to your mom's grave and we're going to tell her all about your adventures. And then Oceanhorn wakes up and he's like, nah, dude, just get out of here. I'm going to die.
Never mind.
And I'm like, what about talking to mom? What happened to that plan? That plan just immediately goes out the window.
So there's like the story, the game hints at an explanation for this, like what happened with him, but you don't see it. You don't understand until the second phase of the final boss battle. So we can talk about it when we get to there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So boss battle starts. Oceanhorn, this giant monster takes up the majority of the screen. You have very little room to move around in here. There is a lot of choke points.
Mm.
He has this laser that he shoots at you, his death ray, which you can't outrun. You really have to block it, and your block uses up stamina, which drains very fast.
Yeah.
So if you don't know exactly what you need to be doing here, you're going to take a lot of damage very quickly.
The laser doesn't, it will only stop if it hits you or you figure out what to do with it. So you either get hurt or you know what's going on.
And so, go ahead.
I would add that he can also shoot bombs at you.
Oh, yeah.
Which will do like, I think, mm-hmm. 2 hearts of damage.
Mm-hmm. It's devastating.
And before this fight, just to spend money and get like the spending $2,000 achievement, I went and I bought every one of the like backup items. I bought the new heart. I bought like the thing that gives you health when your health hits zero. Fun fact, that gives you 1 heart.
Yeah.
1 heart.
Health.
1 heart.
1 heart.
Not healths. Not healths, plural. Health. You get a single unit of health. What's up with that? We haven't talked about that yet on this season. What's up with that?
I haven't,
because I hadn't used it. I haven't used it since this battle. Like,
I mean,
this is the first time
it says
it
in the description, and I was like, I'm gonna pass on that.
That's not useful at all.
I was like, there's no way. It's like, I was like, this is gonna be a fairy. This is essentially a fairy. It is not a fairy. It just gives you 1 heart, and it's like, why did I spend money on this? Why did I even try?
It'd be nice if, like, there was also a potion thing that you could have, so you'd be like, oh, man, I did not expect to die right there. I'm glad I still have the 1 heart thing. I'm going to drink this potion now. No, you are still expected to be responsible for the other hearts on your meter or whatever.
And you can definitely cast a cure spell, but hope
that's
that
true.
You can move the cursor over to yourself before the death laser gets to you or a bomb explodes right next to you.
I had this I used it, the first time I used it was during the water dungeon final boss, which took me forever. And, yeah, and, like, that didn't help me at all. Thanks, game. I'm glad I wasted money on that.
Yay. So, what we have to do in this first phase is we have to redirect Oceanhorn's death ray to his legs, which, again, I talked about this in a previous episode. Guiding those lasers, deflecting them, it just doesn't seem right, because you don't actually, like, you don't actually get to see, like, the angle that your shield is. As soon as you get hit, it locks on, and there is just an exact degree that it moves. And basically, you need to be on the opposite leg that you want to hit in front of him.
But doesn't it starts, like, it doesn't matter where you are. It starts the reflecting, like, center when you start reflecting it. So, like, if you're
something like that,
if you're off to the side, it's just going to go right back to his face, and you have to keep moving to the left or to the right. And so, like, you might as well try and start in the middle to make it easier.
Sure.
If the laser would be cooperative in the first place.
Yeah. This room also has some glitches in it too. Like, there's a few things that I ran into where, like, I couldn't see his laser.
Yes, that.
And then also, I couldn't see my shield properly, so I wasn't sure. I was worried that it wasn't going to deflect. It did, fortunately, but just something broke there.
Mm-hmm.
When you do hit his leg, you then have to run over to that side and hit this, like, glowing piston-looking thing on the side.
It conveniently has the frost spell logo on it to be like, you should use the opposite. Pull out your Charizard.
Oh, is that what you did? I just ran up and hit it with my sword.
I just hit
sword.
It.
Oh, okay. I thought it was trying to tell us, like, hey, use fire on this ice thing. Because I used fire on it, and it worked.
Cool. I was trying to save my magic for hearts, but yeah, I get that.
Because you can only use it twice, and so I got into situations where I was like, oh, great, this mandatory spell. I thought it was mandatory, so it's like, now I gotta go throw pots and get hit by lasers and bombs until I can find a magic or a mana honey pot, whatever it is, jar of honey, and keep going.
You do both sides. The giant sun spits out of his mouth, and you hit it a few times.
Yep.
As you do that, he will start sending more bombs at you. And the bombs, like, you just got to keep your shield up that whole time. You, like, that's the only way, because those bombs, he will chuck them, and they will lock onto you the same way that you can lock bombs onto other enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they will just hit you straight on and take some damage.
Some hit scan bombs.
Yeah. Yeah. But we go and do that enough times, and that will finish him for phase one.
Ta-da!
Before we get to phase two, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to finish the game. For reals.
Hi, we're Ellen,
Steven,
and Mark,
hosts of Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk gaming and game development.
Topics include programming, design, tools, and more.
We also do interviews and one-hour game jams.
Listen to Nice Games Club wherever you get to your podcast. You get there. Or at nicegames.club.
Hi, I'm Ray, and this is my friend Alex.
Hi.
And we do a show called No More Whoppers.
Between us, we're as old as four RPG protagonists.
And now Alex will give us a funny anagram for the name of the show.
Big Old Knockers.
Join us every month or so on the Greenlit Podcast Network.
Okay, so we're at phase two. We finish them off. Everything seems fine, right? That's it. But then we go outside, and it's not it. And he's over there, and suddenly Mesmeroth is back, because, of course, we didn't deal with Mesmeroth. We just fought the Oceanhorn, the monster thing.
I mean,
that wouldn't wrap it up anyway.
So I think the insinuation here is that when the guy resurrected Mesmeroth's soul up on the Sky Island, and we fought, like, Phantom Mesmeroth or whatever, as soon after that fight, Mesmeroth went and possessed Oceanhorn, and then, as a result, our dad couldn't hold it off any longer.
Okay.
I'm assuming he was, like, keeping it at bay with the flute, or, like, just keeping it in place.
Sure. I can go along with that.
It's as good as theory as any. Yeah.
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 So, okay. Without giving it away, Did either of you figure out this on your own?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't.
How long it took? That's another story.
Yes. It took me two or three cycles, and I was like, oh, yeah, we just, yeah, of course.
Because I tried to use the secret item on the last cycle, the last fight, and it was like, all right, this doesn't do anything yet, and then I just completely forgot about it because that fight took me a while.
Yeah, so the way this works is that Oceanhorn, possessed by Mesmeroth, will follow us around, but we do have those fan things that we've been talking about that you can knock it with your sword and they'll turn on and off. Mm-hmm. This time they actually do something, like, consistently. All of them on there are important.
Yeah, they kill you.
What, you
immediately.
Did
they hurt you?
Oh, if you walk into them, you immediately die. Full health.
Oh,
I never
got hurt by one.
Yeah, I accidentally, like, because once you hit, if you hit two of them, it creates a, like, current of electricity between them, and if Oceanhorn steps into it, it disables him, and out pops the, is that like the mechanical robot man?
The dark disciple?
The shadow disciple. Pops out, and that, you know, that's been sort of on and off on our tail throughout this game.
Well, he blew up, but he's back now, which was confusing.
Which I think, so is, are we to understand that it is also a robot? I don't know. I think so.
Maybe.
But, yeah, so then you have to fight that guy for a while, which...
But you have, the thing is that it's being possessed by Mesmeroth, like, Psycho Mantis style. Like, so that, you see him just floating right behind him. And,
that's why I'm wondering if it's a machine, because Mesmeroth, possesses machinery or something, and so maybe he's been possessing him the whole time. Either way, fighting that guy from time to time, I stepped into the current on accident, and all health wiped out. All of it.
That's a bummer.
That's realistic.
Does it make you restart from the first phase?
No.
Thank
God. No, it does not. You start back down in the chamber where Oceanhorn was with some pots that will let you get your health back. And then you step outside, and then it starts again.
Okay. That's not horrible.
No.
Even the greatest games of all time will lock you far behind, where if you die, you do have to do a whole bunch of stuff over again.
Well, especially
so
because
that is a quality of life.
Yeah, and it's especially not that bad, because what you really have to do in this section, it takes like 5 seconds. It's, you know, once again, it's adventure game thing where if you know what you're doing, it'll take you like 5 seconds.
Yeah. So you got to trip Oceanhorn with the electric currents. Shadow guy controlled by Mesmeroth pops out. You can just fight him. You can chuck bombs at him. You can do all that. He'll take damage. But if you just let him die, he just goes back into Oceanhorn and you start all over again.
Mm-hmm. I'm controlling it. Mesmeroth yells something. I'm in control. It's the same voice sample every time.
Yes. Also, while this is happening, the little robo crabs or whatever appear around you too. So, what you got to do is use the item you were just given. The item that I just completely ignored. Even when I got it, I was just like, what is this piece of junk?
Mm-hmm.
The flute. The magic flute.
Recorder.
The recorder of the seas.
Don't even call it a clarinet or anything like that. You know, it's a recorder.
But you have to wait until he's saying, I'm controlling it or whatever it is. Because that is what, now that we talk about it, even at the time when I was playing it, I was just like, why are they making me do this flute thing? But as we're talking about it, I'm like, all right, that's been like our dad's thing, is that's how he's been controlling Oceanhorn up to this point, is through that flute. So yes, we do that.
Except now you, instead of playing the sleepy song, we can play the, I'm the fight song, the fighty stuff.
The headbutt song.
Right, yeah. Apparently Oceanhorn has one slot open, and Mesmeroth has vacated that slot, so now we can use our song to plug in our USB and take over.
Right, we've paired our flute with Oceanhorn. And now we have full control over him. And Mesmeroth is just like, no, how can this happen? I was supposed to be the evil king of the world. Like, it's so cheesy. And it's like, so our dad has, I think the voice actor that did our dad, great job. But every time he popped in, it was kind of like jarring because it was just, it was so like heavy whenever he would talk about this stuff in the middle of us just like bumping in on our boat and like walking around and like killing these little crabs and stuff like that. But so when Mesmeroth starts
talking,
gonna
murder the whole world, kid. It's like an Indiana Jones that's seen too much.
It's like Sonny Bastion.
Oh, huh?
It's like a crummy version of Bastion.
Like never ending story, yeah. Bastion?
real quick, did you guys go back to your home island?
Yes.
Not this week, I don't think. Because it was like, you've got 94% of everything at home. And I was like, that's good enough for me.
So if you go back, you can find your mother's grave. And there is a sign next to it that says something along the lines of, there's nothing more painful than loving something that can die or something like that.
Or loving something death can touch.
Yes. And I'm like, oh my God.
I mean, that's slightly more poetic, but still, yeah, that's not great.
It's so dark.
Don't ever love. I'm surprised there aren't like a bunch of just like, there's like an addendum with like the drunk things that our dad wrote in the back of the journal. They're just like, don't ever love. Don't ever fall in love. It's just nothing but pain, man.
I loved your sky mother so much.
She fell into my arms. But then the Mesmeroth came back and just don't do it.
Someone give me my flute. I can flute.
I got
not
play
that
a
drunk.
Song. My heart has a song.
Anyways, back to where we were. Mesmeroth is just like, no, how could you do this? I should be winning, all that stuff. And then Oceanhorn literally headbutts him off of a cliff.
Whoa.
Hang on. Are we missing something? We skipped something. Okay,
our
so there
dad
was a part.
Stuck a sword in Oceanhorn's head and was like, deliver the final blow.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's when Mesmeroth.
Because he got
that led
off
into the second phase.
He got knocked into the water and like only his hat was left. Old Indiana Jones.
Yes, that was the end of the first phase, leading into the second. Then he stabbed him in the head, and then he said, "Deliver the final blow." But then we just like stood there for a while, and then we had a fight with him. Like it didn't feel. I was waiting for something like a Zelda where we would come up and deliver the final blow. Mm-hmm. Instead. We tripped him with electricity and played
the final
a flute.
Blow. You're playing the recorder.
Oh, shut up.
Damn, son.
No.
We figured it out.
That is too much. No, I do not allow that.
Then you do not allow Oceanhorn, Monster of Uncharted Sea.
We are too far along for me not to allow this. Anyways, again, jumping back to where we were, Oceanhorn butts him into there and then just like explodes. Like Oceanhorn blows up Mesmeroth with him. And then
he doesn't get to hang around like Seelork, right? He just blows up.
No, he's just gone. He's just gone now.
We don't need this anymore.
And it is very slow. This is a very slow process of us just standing there looking over the cliff where our dad fell.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm gonna climb up.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
Go over here.
No
grab
worries.
My hat. This is
get my hat.
This is like Last Crusade. Yeah, I went off with the tank and just climb back.
And he's like, then our dad sits us down and has a talk with us. The talk being all of the lore that happened before this game started.
And he start his first line is, "I figured it all out." This is all right. I think I got it now. So this is all conjecture, basically.
He basically says, like, we kind of hinted at a lot of this stuff of that these machines were vehicles and there were legendary warriors that controlled them and all of this stuff. But then he's just saying a lot of the stuff that we kind of already knew about, like Mesmeroth was bad. But the thing that like really corrupted him is that he merged his body with machines to try to live forever.
So we heard about Archimedes throughout this game sometime, you know, from here and, you know, here and there. And so Archimedes is the one who was like, yeah, this forbidden magic stuff, we need these to protect us, so I don't care that this magic is forbidden. So he merged technology and blood and stuff together to create the champion beasts. And then Mesmeroth saw that and was like, that's a really good idea. And he did that to himself with dark magic to become something that could possess machines and make himself immortal that way. And that's why I was thinking maybe that that shadow guy with the episode one face was a machine that Mesmeroth was controlling, because Mesmeroth can control machinery. But
he's dead. Yeah. We don't care how he came to be at this point. Like it's just it's such a weird time to do this kind of lore dump, because it's one thing if they did it just before. There's been plenty of games, shows, movies, all that stuff that you get a last minute villain, right?
Mm.
Where everything was like leading to like there's this actual person in the background that's controlling all this stuff that we never really saw, that maybe you could see hints of it beforehand. This was just like we've known all of this stuff about him, really just him being evil. We kill him, we blow him up, he is dead, he is gone. Then we start to actually learn about him. But not even like in a way that like, oh, let's sympathize with him. You know, it wasn't one of those things where just like, oh, he wanted to save his people, his land and all this stuff. It was just like, he was like, that looks really good for my evil plans.
Yeah.
And that's all. That was his motivation.
He had an idea and it turned out
unlimited power sounds awesome.
But that is the end of it. Our dad ends it by basically saying, let's rebuild the world. All the monsters are gone.
Let's do
it. So the fish people, the fish people could go out now.
This game, steals from Wind Waker, and then Breath of the Wild steals from this game.
It's a cycle, man.
Yeah. Hey, you know,
they're just trading ideas. And then, then the credits roll.
Yeah.
And we're just boating around. That's the end.
And maybe we go see our girlfriend, maybe not, but she was into us. Nothing really seemed to, from our end, really, I guess.
I'm kind of busy right now. I just don't have time for a relationship.
Yeah.
Rebuild the world and all.
I've got to check out these islands.
Mm-hmm. Let me know when the fireworks are back in town. I like those.
Yeah, we'll hang out. That'll be our thing. Every year we'll hold hands and watch fireworks. Look, my family line's kind of messed up. You don't want to get involved in this, you know.
Ocean Horn Monster of Uncharted Seas. That is the end of it.
Yeah.
BC, what do you think of this game?
Let's start off with the good stuff. So I think good stuff, the idea is cool. Like the whole idea of, like, you know, you're killing the last of these like ancient living weapons, that part's cool. The game itself looks pretty nice. The music isn't bad. It's fine. As for criticisms, I think the game is somehow too long for what it is. A lot of the puzzles, It was just pushing blocks. It was a lot of just pushing blocks. And then also, I think my big thing is, at the end of the game, when I beat it, it was like, you cleared the game with 64% of stuff. And I just wanted to say, what's the other, like, 36%? What is left to do? Part of the reason
chests
I didn't...
Chests full of arrows?
I think chests, bloodstones, heart pieces.
Yeah, I didn't feel like I feel like at the end of the game, you can get the Tryloth spell, which you have to have 40 bloodstones to do, which you're probably at the end of the game if you do that. And there's no reason to use it. Like, there's one thing to do. It's the same with the cure spell, and the same with, like, when I got the same with the cure spell, and then the same with something else you can get. It's the end of the game, and there's not that much to do. There's no reason to collect all the heart pieces. the ocean horn fight is frustrating, but once you know what you're supposed to do, you can technically do it in two rotations. So like if you have a good run, it's super easy to kill him in two cycles. So I don't know what else I would do, and there's no motivation to level past 12. Like, I played through the whole game, and I didn't get anywhere close to level 16 or whatever the cap was, and I just don't know why would you be motivated to keep playing the game that long. I was already pretty bored with it by the time we got through the Sky Island, so I'm glad it was a quick end, but it's also weird that there's no dungeon. You just show up.
Yeah.
You fight Oceanhorn.
Yeah.
And that's it. I know. Yeah, no, that's it. I mean, the game was just meh.
All right. Brian, what about you?
I mean, yeah. Speaking of the final spell, it's not like a shame that we get it so late, but I mean, Jeremy, did you use it? Did you see what it does?
No.
It's actually kind of funny. It's the power of the Tryloth, which I think started out as a good thing. Or no, the Tryloth was always a bad thing. But it creates this like void spear around whoever you cast it at. And then they like get engulfed by the void spear. And then all of a sudden, like the little health or the experience gem just floats out of it and goes to your head. It's almost comic. It's not meant to be comical, but it's hilarious. Just like, what's going on in that cloud? Doesn't matter, kid. Here's your experience.
Don't ask.
Don't
take your crystals and leave.
You don't want to know what dimension this leads to. So that's entertaining at the very least. But as far as the game's concerned, like it's got just such like I keep comparing it to like overhead NES Zelda clone stuff. Like, it's real simplistic puzzles. It's a lot of pushing blocks or cats chasing each other around the apartment, or killing all the enemies in a room instead of lighting torches, which there's a little bit of that. We've got hitting all the fans in a room, you know, like activate all this stuff. It's real base level Zelda stuff. And I mean, that's fine, I guess. It doesn't really do anything too crazy with the Zelda formula. It just kind of uses it as a template to make a pretty simplistic phone game version of that kind of genre, if you will. And that's fine. It's not disappointing. It's not, you know, too mind-blowing. It's fine. The combat is nothing to write home about. The game's nothing to write home about, but I wouldn't, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and like, oh, this game sucks. Like, you know, it's fine. It's fine.
That's where I am on this. Like, for me personally, I just like these kinds of games. I love these kind of games. You know, good and bad, the kind of games that are these action adventures that have the hallmarks that we have associated with Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
You take any game that puts that in there, it's just my jam. Like, regardless of like the quality of it, I have played terrible games and been fine with it. I've played games that are widely adored and just be like, I just don't like this game. I'm just not into it.
Mm.
So for me in general, it's like, I agree with everything you guys are saying. But I still, like, on the meter, it's still moving towards, like, I like this game. Just because it did what it set out to do. I feel like, in general, they didn't have grand ambitions for this game. They wanted to make a game. They wanted to do their own version of a Zelda. And I think they did that. And, I have no problem making fun of how corny it is sometimes. of how it's obtuse in certain ways, where it's like, they just said, you know, we do things this way, and then you go to the next area and expects you to do something else. BC, you mentioned before about we get the ability to summon stones from the sky, and then you see a target and we can't actually interact with the target because you need to get a different item for it. And you know, for me, I'm just sort of like, sure, that's just part of these games, but I get it. I get why that would annoy you. That's why, like, people will ask me about this game, and I'll be like, well, how much are you wanting a game that's like Zelda but isn't Zelda? Like, that is really the question for me, not so much of being like, oh, if you like this game, you should play this game. I just want to be like, how desperate are you right now? Like, what level are you at? Not to say that you have to be the most desperate to play something like this, but there's a level that you hit where I'm like, okay, there's probably a dozen other games I would say to play before this one, but at some point you could get to this one if you want to find, if you just want to play that genre of games.
I think that works for the original platform it was on. As a phone game, this is a pretty successful Zelda knockoff that you could play on the bus, you know,
or like 2011.
That's
the other thing. You gotta keep in mind, we're playing that is it's not quite like retro, it's like late retro, where this is like coming out of the end of you know, like Wii era kind of stuff, but then like early 360 or mid 360 era.
Yeah, we're hitting the end of that gen, but yeah.
Yeah, so we still hadn't figured out a lot of those games yet. Like, it wasn't, honestly, I feel like we didn't hit truly being able to like make solid games on, like, you know, a conveyor belt style thing of being like, we're going to make this kind of game and we can make one beginning to end that is just solid all the way through until last generation. So we were still in that where a lot of people were just sort of like, we're still learning how to make games. We didn't have all these engines that we have now to make stuff as simple as possible, mm-hmm. to where you can put something in there and it doesn't break. So Unity's, you still have a lot of that stuff.
Unity's like, what, like less than 5 years old at this point?
I mean, in its current capacity, yes. I mean, but like, even that, you had like, you know, Unreal Engine.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That, no, I know, you know. But like, we're getting into like, yeah, that, you know, there's starting to become more than just Unreal Engine and, hey, program it yourself, sort of, mm-hmm. like that.
It's the same reason I forgive a lot of old games,
uh-huh.
because there's a lot of times where I'm just like, there were 5 people working on this, and only 2 of them even knew how to make a video game before they started doing mm-hmm. this project. And so there's certain games, there's more than 5 people that worked on this. There's the, you know, looking through the credits, there were a couple dozen.
Multiple composers, multiple triple mm-hmm. A named composers on this game.
Right.
That's where they spent all the money.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
And
that's how I look at this. I'm just like, I think they did a good job for what they were trying to do. I'm not going to go around and tell people they need to play this game.
And I say that, you know, yeah, music's fine. It, you know, it's that Chat of the Wild Gaiden, you know, special. We always say, yeah, music was great. You know, music's fine.
Yeah, it's so rare that most of the games that we play, I want to say there was maybe like 1 or 2 games that we played on here so far that I wasn't like, I like this music.
Uh-huh, yeah. But, you know, the music's fine until you think about like who composed it. And then I'm like, man, you've done some better work. I think you've done better work than this. This might have been a weekend for you.
Yeah, here's a complaint about the music. Every song is short.
Uh-huh.
Like, I want to say like the longest song is 2 minutes.
Mobile game?
And, well, it's just, and they don't, it doesn't do it in a way, you know, you can tell when it stops and starts again, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't blend. There's not a thing where it's like you can, you know, oh, it's hitting that. There is a stopping point, and then you hear it start up again.
Mm-hmm.
Zelda does that really well, where you can just, it's a continuous song. Even when it's looping, it doesn't feel like you stopped the song and started it over again. Yeah. It just feels like it's the background to everything.
Memory's weird. No, go ahead, BC.
I was just going to say, maybe they just got a condo for, like, the weekend. Like, they had 2 days of his time, and they were like,
or Uematsu,
churn out as much as you can.
Or Uematsu, not Kondo.
Oh, sorry. Why did I think Kondo?
Legendary composers.
That would be, yeah. That would be interesting.
They're like best friends, aren't they? I feel like I had heard that a long time ago. That could be just someone being like, no, man, they're such best friends. But, you know, I could easily see
they
that.
They go to the same bar occasionally in Japan.
They go to the right? music composer bar with Hip Tanaka and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's the other thing is that, like, you know, it could just be that the memory was weird or they didn't realize how to loop the music. But memory in this game is weird. When I first got to Tikarel Island, I was picking stuff up and throwing it around to be like, oh, let's start breaking things. Let's check out this island. And I think it was the first time we saw barrels, because they don't break unless you throw them at, like, a torch or something. And so there's some...
I think I know what you're going to say.
There's some barrels near the pier, and I threw them, and they landed, like, in really weird spots, and they're, like, hanging off a ledge, but they're just... They're, like, at an angle just that doesn't look right, just hanging there. And since I never messed with them ever again, because I was like, I can't break those, there's two barrels that are just ridiculous looking at the pier to Tikarel, and every time I get there, I see them. They're still hanging out there. They're still in the same spot. They're still, like a Coke can that's like, you know, 40% full that you can, like, lean on a table and when you're you know, eight, and you're like, ha-ha, look at that. Like, it looks like that. And they're there for the whole game. And I'm just like, the memory in this game is weird. It remembers things that I throw for the entire game. And then, like, you know, the music is really short. The enemies respawn and stuff like that. So, like, I don't understand, like, where the memory is going in this game.
Here's the thing, Brian. It's not that at all. Because I have that exact same thing.
Yeah.
In the front of Tikarel, there are two barrels that are oddly shaped on there. And I believe that it's just the game. At some point, it just, like, the barrels kind of move at some point.
Oh, I thought, I swear I threw those. Glitched. I swear I threw those.
I've got at the very, what you're describing is the exact same on my game, and I did not do that.
Okay, okay.
I was not chucking barrels around. Like, when I got to Tikarel, I knew what I was there for, and I never played around with it outside of, like, where there are monsters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I'm here for fireworks, and that's it.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily remembering what you did. I think the game is just sort of, it's cracking a bit in certain areas as you go along. I'm good. I mean, I think we've covered all of this.
I'm more excited to check out the sequel.
So, like I said, that was Oceanhorn, Monster of Uncharted Seas. I think we're going to be playing the prequel that is currently only available on Switch and mobile. Though if you have Apple Arcade, you do get that with it. So something to keep in mind. But before we get to that,
I didn't play. Usually I play things on their original hardware. Should I play it on the phone? No, the answer is no.
Play it on my iPad.
Before we get to that game, though, we got a Zelda game to play. Mm-hmm. And that is Phantom Hourglass for the Nintendo DS.
Whoop, whoop.
This is one of two of the DS ones that most people don't like. From what I have heard, it is one of the black sheep.
They always bring up, like, for at least for Phantom Hourglass, they always bring up this one thing about the game, and I'm just like,
yeah, maybe we will. Y'all have to listen though.
Maybe it's my favorite part about the game, but maybe
for the first episode of Phantom Hourglass. All you got to do is get to your boat. Don't necessarily leave that first island, but get to the boat, meet back here, and we'll talk about it on Chat of the Wild.